We would like to thank Karen and Jake, our beloveds, for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn, Le'ilu Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba, and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yoshua Shimon Dov, their neshamas should have an aliyah. Okay, so we are starting a brand new Mishnah. Brand new Mishnah. We are up to chapter 4, Mishnah 12. The title of this year is Layers of Honor. As we go through this Mishnah, I want us to think. There's three parts to the Mishnah. It's also a little bit confusing because there's different versions of the Mishnah, but we'll try to make that as clear as possible as we go on. But I want us to think about the message, which is the main theme of the Mishnah, is kavod, honor, and the amount of honor that we give to different layers, different parts of our lives, different people, how we relate to them, and how they distinguish from each other. So let's jump in. Mishnah 12, source number A. Rebbe Elazar ben Shammua Omer. Rebbe Elazar ben Shammua says, Yehi chavod talmidcha chaviv alecha kishalcha. The honor of your student should be as beloved to you as your own. This is an important message for teachers. The honor of your students should be as beloved to you as your own. The next layer is ukvod chavercha kimora rabcha. And the honor that you give your friend should be like the awe that you have for your teacher. And number three is umora rabcha. The awe that you have for your teacher should be kimora shamayim, should be like the awe that you have for the heavens. So first impressions from the Mishnah, what does the Mishnah seem to be doing when it comes to honor? There's a hierarchy, but it's more than just a hierarchy. So there is a hierarchy, yes.
But examples to show like
examples of what? To go
higher.
You're going higher up than you would expect, right? So there seems to be that if you didn't have this Mishnah, how much honor should you have for your student? Well, we don't exactly know what it means to have honor for yourself, so we'll have to analyze that a little bit. But let's start with kvod chavercha. How much honor should you have for your friend? Well, the appropriate honor for your friend, right? Not the appropriate honor or fear or awe that you should have for your teacher. It doesn't make sense, right? Why would you tell me to honor your friend the amount that you would have awe for your teacher? No, my teacher's my teacher, my friend's my friend. Why are you? So the Mishnah, we're going to have to analyze this, but the Mishnah seems to be telling us to go above and beyond what the status quo expectation is supposed to be. That you have your student, well, you might think that you should honor yourself more than you honor your student because you're the teacher, they're the student. No, has to be even. Then when it comes to your friend, okay, maybe we're equals. No, we're not equals. Go above, honor them more like you would honor your teacher. And your teacher? Okay, I understand. I have to honor my teacher more. No, that's not even enough. Go a step higher. Fear them, awe them, have awe of them like you would have of God. So there's a hierarchy, but there's a hierarchy that we're telling you to step up in the amount of honor and awe that you are providing for them. And we are crisscrossing. We are switching in the middle from honor to awe. And one of the things that we're going to have to analyze is what's that distinction between kavod and mora, right? We have for kibud avaim, you have two different mitzvos. You have kibud avaim and mora avaim. You have to honor your parents, but you also have to have awe and reverence and respect for them, not just in terms of kavod. There's also yira, mora. So you have that here as well. There's honor, and then there is awe. Okay, so we have to understand this hierarchy a little bit better. Yeah? Okay, good. So Rabbi Shiloni is already hinting at one of the sources that we're going to get to, is that it doesn't say to honor, at least in the first source, it doesn't say to honor your student like you would honor yourself. It says you should have, the honor should be as beloved to you. So if we want to, well, now that you mentioned it, we'll make this point now, although we'll elaborate on it, is that what do we mean by honor? Right? What do we mean by honor? Good, Paula. Good intuition there. What do we mean by honor? And if you want to make it even more, does honor mean action? Does honor mean emotion? Does honor mean thought? What exactly does honor mean? And the fact that Rabbi Shlomi is pointing out here, let's point out that word chaviv. Chaviv means beloved. It doesn't mean necessarily how you act towards them. So we're going to deal with that. We'll talk about that. All right, so let's jump in. Source number one is going to tone things down a little bit for us and just lower the stakes. And this is where Rabbeinu Yonah tells us. He says, don't get confused here. We're not trying to say that you behave differently than is necessarily expected in complete, in totality. Let's see what he says. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yekvod Tamidcha Chaviv Alacha Kishocha, Kekvod Chavercha. So now, here's where the confusion is going to come in. There is a different version here of point number one. We have point number one as the honor of your student should be as beloved as your own. There is another version here that says the honor of your student should be the honor of your friend. So then it would be a real step up. And the Mishnah is very clear in terms of where it's going. If you read this Mishnah the other way, what it's basically saying is student, treat like friend. Friend, treat like teacher. Teacher, treat like God. That's not our version. Our version says student, be chaviv like yourself. But this other version has student, treat like friend. So now, so if you notice that was alluded to in his title here, where he says, we'll read it again, source number one, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Yikvod, Talmidcha, Chaviv, Alacha, Kishelcha, Kikvod, Chavercha. He lumps them both together. It should be as beloved to you, your student's kavod should be as beloved to you as yours, and like the honor you give to your friend. So this is what he says, Rotze Lomar, Kol echad kvi kvodo. Don't get confused. Everybody has a specific amount of kavod that is due to them and that they're warranted to get from you. Hayadua shiroi lasos l'chaveru l'talmid, aval eno omer shiachaved l'talmido kimo l'chaveru ki eno bedin. It doesn't mean, right, so now what we're saying, let's assume this other version of the Mishnah, where you're saying that your student treat like you would honor your friend. But that's not right, because my friend's my friend, my student's my student. These are separate. I'm not going to treat them equally. I'm going to treat them differently. So it's not saying treat them the same. You're obviously going to treat them differently because there is a hierarchy. It's anal bedin. It doesn't make sense. It's not proper. It's not appropriate to treat them on the same level. One second, Chippy. Ella, kimosha ein chorashay ligroa lechavercha mikvodo haroi kach ein lecharishos liftoach lifachos meakavod haroi letamidcha. What he's basically saying is, don't go lower than they are, than that's owed to each one. Each one is owed a particular amount of kavod, and make sure, the message of the Mishnah is, make sure you don't give them less kavod than they deserve, but to each his own. Don't get confused. We don't want to make a system where there is no distinction between levels. There has to be distinction, because your student is not your friend, and your friend is not your rabbi, and the truth is, your rabbi is not God, right? So there has to be distinctions. Don't get confused. The Mishnah is not saying, tear down all distinctions, treat everybody with the same amount of respect, and just from, let's just take respect, honor here as, let's say, what's your go-to thought of honor? What's your go-to thought of honor? What do you associate with honor? What action? Being polite, maybe that's not what I would have said. I would say be polite to everybody. But here, when you think honor, what do you think of? What action bespeaks honor?
Respect.
So what? So I would say, at least in halach, I would say by standing. Right? But I would say, mitzvah, I'd say, but less complicated. Very simple. When somebody who has some level of title or some level of status walks in, the halacha says you stand up. Right. So just sit. Again, there's more. We could get complicated. I'm saying on a simple level, the first thing when you ask me that, when I think of kavod, what does that mean? It means standing up. You stand up. So now, if what Rabbeinu Yonah is pointing out is that don't say that this means, so whenever anybody walks into the room, you know, stand up for them. Right. It'll be a fun game of musical chairs, right? So because everybody's equal and treat everybody with the same level of respect. No, he's saying that's not what this Mishnah means. There is still a hierarchy. Now, we still have to figure out the details and we have to understand a little bit more in depth, but don't think that we mean to equate everybody together. Is that what you were getting at?
I would say respect rather than honor.
Okay, respect, honor.
You're not honoring your
Well, so again, so you're right. We still have to define what honor and what respect means. I'm using them synonymously as of now. So maybe we'll get into a little more depth that. I'm not sure we will, but let's assume we mean similar things. One practical way of showing honor or respect is in terms of standing. And we're not going to necessarily say stand for everybody, although there is halakhos that talk about, let's say your student becomes a tremendous Talmud Chacham, let's say, or surpasses your own knowledge, and right? So would you stand for them? So the halakha is you don't have to, but you can. But you can. There is an element of standing for your student and showing them respect, even though they are your student, and that is related to this Mishnah. Okay. What? Right, incentive to, as a motivation. Okay, yeah. Right, so that's what Rabbi Shiloni pointed out in the beginning in terms of the Chaviv, and I think that's correct. The Rabbeinu Yonah is saying that everybody has a dignity that they deserve, and don't denigrate that, don't lower that. But there happens to be a discussion here in terms of showing honor to your student actively by standing. That does come up in the halacha. But you're right, the Mishnah doesn't say that explicitly. It does say Chaviv, and we'll get to the Chaviv a little bit later on. Okay, so let's go to Rashi. Rashi is going to open up a very interesting discussion here where he says as follows. Now remember, we have two different versions. Rashi is going to quote both versions. Hachi Garsinam. Rashi's version is as follows. Kik kabod chavercha. So that the honor of your Talmud should be like the honor of your friend. Not the version we have. Rashi's version was different than ours. The honor of your student should be like the honor of your friend. Mashma sheta'ase kabod l'tamilcha kimo l'chaverecha. Now, afraid of just pointing out, according to you, this is not what you were saying, because this version of the Mishnah is different. This version of the Mishnah is to honor your student like you would honor your friend. Now, we're not even sure yet what does that mean to honor your friend, but whatever that honoring of friend is, honor your student as much as that. V'chein, kavod chavercha ki kavod umor rabcha, and then the honor you give for your friend should be like the honor and the awe and respect that you have for your teacher. Now, what we'll see in a later source is that if you assume this version, that it's just this A equals B, B equals C, C equals, right? Then all my math people, right? If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. And we're basically saying that treat everybody as if they were God, right? So that's going to be problematic. So we'll get there, but that if you go with this version, that's the problem that you're going to have, is that you're equating everybody together. So you say your student, treat like God. That's a little bit weird. So we'll get to there. But let's see. Rashi says, Nusach Acher, a different version. He says, that's my version. A different version. Yikabo Talmidcha, Sover Hu, Sha'atamit Pa'er Bo, Vare Kvodo Hu Kvodcha, Lefichach Dinhu Shechaviv Alecha, Kishocha Kikabod Atzmacha. So according to our version, which is Rashi's other version. According to our version, it says you should honor, you should be chaviv, you should want or desire the honor of your student like your own. So how does Rashi understand that? So these last two words on the first line of Rashi are fascinating. Sover hu. What does sover hu mean? Rashi's saying is that our Tana, our guy in our Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, thinks as follows, which is going to be important. So Rashi doesn't often say that. That sover hu. This is what he thinks, right? Sover hu sha'atam mispa'er bo v'hare kvodohu. So this Tana, our Mishnah, thinks that by your student getting honored, it does what for me? It brings honor to me. So by somebody else, or even myself, honoring my student, I myself become honored. Kvodcha l'fichach dinu she'achabav alecha kishocha k'kvod atzmacha. So Rashi's saying is that this makes sense. Dinhu. It makes sense. Why does it make sense? It makes sense that I should love the honor of my student as beloved as mine is because it's basically the same thing. Because when my student gets the honor, I myself am honored. So it psychologically makes sense for me to be my student's kavod, his honor or the respect, to be beloved to me because I can identify with it because I get it through him. Sort of like conduit to my own honor is when he gets honor.
But,
I would say proud. I would proud, praised. I feel good about it.
Yeah, but to me it sounded like you should praise your student.
So I don't think that's what he's saying. We'll see somebody else says that, but it's Ms. Fairbo. It means that I myself get honor through it. Right, beautified, honored, respected. All the good stuff comes through my student getting that honor. But now. Yeah, it's a reflection of me, and I when my student gets honored, I think, wow, that's awesome, that's amazing, for me.
But you're responsible for
me, right? So now, but he keeps going. Aval, he contrasts this. B'kvod chavercha lo matzi lemisni chaviv. When it comes to my friend, I can't say it should be as beloved to me as my own. Shaharei, third line, ein lo chelek b'kvodo shel chavero. I have no part in the honor that my friend gets. Dematibo shall kavod chavero, etzel kavod shelo. I don't associate with it. If my friend gets honor, I don't have any part in that. There's nothing that comes back and connects to me. Lefichach tali kavod chavero b'morarabo. So therefore, I can't associate that. Right? What's the if you want to teach something, right? What's lesson number one of teaching? If you can get it, the message to be identified with the person you're speaking to, that's very strong. So Rashi's saying is that that's what our Tana's doing. He's saying, I want you to identify with this concept because you can feel it. Your honor of your students should be chaviv. You can emotionally feel it because it goes to you. Your friend, but guess what? Your friend is more disconnected. The honor that your friend gets, you can't empathize with. You can't take the mindset of your friend as easily because you have no connection to it. So therefore, we're going to say your friend is going to be like the mora, the awe that you have for your rabbi, and you can't associate with that awe of your rabbi as much. You can't identify it. There's no overlap between you and that concept. In contrast to the honor that your student gets, you do feel that. Okay, so that's what he says. We're going to analyze this a little bit more.
Students like a banim.
Right. Right. Good. Let's keep going. Fine. So that's what Rashi says. Now, look at source number three. We're going to analyze this Rashi in depth. So source number three is the Masifta. If you remember all the way in the beginning, I showed you a book that I've been using throughout is the Masifta on Pirkei Avos. It's a 6-volume set that summarizes tons, like almost every, but not every. I mean, there's thousands of books on Pirkei Avos, but a lot of Rishonim, Achronim on Pirkei Avos and summarizes them. And it's a go-to for me. I use it often. And then what I do is I see what he quotes and I look it up and we do primary sources. But a lot of it comes from what I see in the Masifta. Every once in a while, the Masifta gives its own comment. Whoever was compiling all this, basically a compiler called Malachic, taking other sources and summarizing them in a paragraph and putting footnotes. Every once in a while, the person who did it, and I'm sure it's a whole group of people who do it together, decide to put their own little thoughts and analysis in it. It's not often. More often than not, it's just a collection. So here he has a little bit of an analysis on this Rashi. So it's a very fascinating analysis. So look at source number three. Just for the sake of time, in the first half, he says that he quotes those two words of sover who, and he says it doesn't really make any sense. Changes it to svarahu, which is a different version. But let's skip to where I underlined it, around 6 lines down in source number 3. So he says, Rashi Mosif Od, Shilagabe, this is where I underlined it, Shilagabe kvod chavercha, I epshar lomar chaviv kishalcha. When it comes to the honor of your friend, you can't say it like yourself. Shekain, Eza chelak yeshol b'kavod chavero. You have no part in that. Uma inyan kavod chavero etzel kvodo. There's no association between your own kavod and their kavod. Alkein tala atana kavod chavero b'mor rabba. So that's what Rashi said. That's why the kavod of your friend goes to the, we step it up to the awe of your teacher. V'yesh lahayir. Here's his point. Me'am mishnah la'el. And so we had another mishnah, Perek Bey's mishnah yud, a long time ago. What does it say there? Sham ne'amar, and everybody should have been asking this question. Yehi kvod chavercha chabiv alecha kishalcha. There it says that the honor of your friend should be as chaviv as it is to you. Guess what? For those who are using their thinking caps, that's a kasha on Rashi. That's a question on Rashi. Rashi just said, when it comes to your friend, you can't be chaviv the kavod of your friend because you can't identify with it. You can't associate with it. It's separate than you. Your student, you can't identify with. Friend, you can't. You can't say chaviv of kavod for your friend. What's the problem? The Mishnah 2 Prakim ago said that exact thing. It said the honor of your friend should be as chaviv, as beloved to you as your own honor. So apparently I could empathize with that. I could associate with that. There is some connection between my friend's honor and my own honor. So how can Rashi say we couldn't say chaviv by friend because you can't have honor chaviv like your friend because we can't do it? The Mishnah 2 Prakim ago said it. So that's the question. It's a very strong question. So now, V'yeshomer Mishnah L'el, Sham Nemar Yikvot Chavercha Chaviv Olach Kesholcha, Shehakavana Bezeh B'Pashtus Al Pi HaKasuv. So how do we understand it there? What does it mean to honor your friend like yourself? This gets into a whole other question. V'Hatol Recha Kamocha. What does it mean to love my friend like myself? It's the same question. Can I honor, can I feel that belovedness of honor like my friend has? Can I love my friend like myself? Right? So this is gets into, if you remember, we spoke about this at some point in time, and we even gave a whole, we spoke about a Perkei Avos, so it was self-other overlap, when we spoke about, which Mishnah was it? We spoke about Hillel, says, Im ein ani li mi li kshani la'atzmi ma'ani, if I'm not for myself, who am I for? And if I'm not, and if I'm for, and if I'm only for myself, then what am I? Right? So we talked about the connection between the feelings of the ani and the feelings of the other. So we spoke about it there. But we all, v'hatlo recha kamocha there. We also gave a series. Now this laser, I think it was, Jake was there. Were you guys there also? This was like 6 years ago or so. We gave a short, brief series on v'hatlo recha kamocha. So either way, the question there comes, it's the same exact question. How can I overlap with my friend in emotions, in thought, in behavior that requires the v'ahavta l'recha kamocha? Can I fully associate with my friend? So it's the same question here. So he says here, when it comes to chaviv alecha kesholcha, about that Mishnah, the assumption is you have a mitzvah v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, love your friend like you love yourself, so honor your friend like you love yourself. Right? Honor your friend like you honor yourself. Same concept. The overlap works. Vim Kane, so now the question becomes, Ma'u Shikotz of Rashi, Shul Shayach Shekabal Chaviv, Chaveru Chaviv Ala Kekvodo. So then Rashi, the question's on Rashi, why does he say it's impossible to have that level of overlap, of association, of honor, and belovedness of the honor with your friend? So this is what he says. Vitzarech Lomar, Shekabanas Rashi Khan. Rashi means as follows. This is where the underline is, the second underline in the source. Shemitzad Hasvara. Ein ledamos kavod hachaver lekavod atzma. Mitzad hasvara. Logically, if you think about it, you can't do it. There's no real connection. Your friend's your friend. You're you. The honor your friend gets and the honor you get, you can't really empathize. You can't really get to that same emotional state where you can be as beloved to your friend's honor as you are to your own. It's impossible. Mitzad hasvara. Logically. Even though there's a mitzvah, there's a commandment to try to do that, to try to have that overlap. Here we're not talking about mitzvos. What are we talking about? Logic. What makes sense psychologically? And psychologically, it doesn't. You cannot require, it doesn't make sense, you'll always come short to try and say that the honor of your friend should be as beloved to you as your own. Because it can't happen. Because I'm me, he's him, she's her, whatever. I can't do it. I can't do it. Now what's the question? Well, forget about David Yehonatan. What's the problem when he's setting it up? He's saying, our mission is talking about logic. Right? So what's he basically saying? Well, the previous Mishnah is even stronger than the previous Mishnah. It's not just a question on the previous Mishnah, it's a question on behalf of the Rech HaKamotha. So he's basically, the way he's setting it up, and we're not going to get into this now, but just to leave it as a thing to think about, he's basically setting it up that Vahav L'Reich HaKamocha is not logical. Not even emotional, because he's saying that it's basically not even, it's not even emotional. It's not even really... Yeah. Again, how he would formulate this, I'm not sure. It's from the Torah. I'm okay saying it's not logical in the sense that it doesn't have to make perfect, you know, psychological sense. But the way I understand, or I guess we could hypothesis here, he's saying is that you work on it, right? You're never going to fully get there. You're never going to get chaviv because it's not natural, and even it might even be impossible. But you try. Right? And even if you go to the Ramban, if you look at the Ramban on Chumash, right, the Ramban says is a guzma. It's an exaggeration. It doesn't mean it literally, because the Ramban assumes it's impossible. Right? Because it's impossible for me to have the same level of love, and here let's insert respect, that I would have for my friends, or belovedness of respect that I would have for myself. There's always going to be a disconnect between self and other, and there cannot be a total overlap. So that's the logical explanation, and that's why this mission, which is talking about logic, says we can't, according to Rashi, we can't command you or even suggest to you to have the belovedness of your friends honor like your own. Students, we can. Why? Because it's a reflection of you, and you could empathize with that, you could associate with that, and that's why you could have a belovedness of your students' honor as much as your own. It's a very self-centered Mishnah, right? But not in a bad way. But it's very realistic in its sense of this is who I am, and you are you, and we're different. And as much as I want to give you honor, I am being honest that I will never be able to say with an honest heart that I love the honor you're getting as much as the honor that I would get. And maybe it's a journey, and it's something to aspire to, and it's something to try to get to, but it's being very real, as it were, in terms of human experience. Okay, so that's, yeah.
By the way, by students, actually, if you honor him, he will honor you. That's like Keshel Ha Kavanah.
That's also very self-centered. Self-centered, yeah. Right? So I'm honoring him in order that I get honored.
No,
right?
Not in order. This will happen.
Right. So we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a moment. Okay. So he has another explanation. We're going to skip for now. We're going to go to source number four briefly. Yeah. Good, good segue. I'm going to stop you there before you give away the next source. Look at source number four. Okay, good job. All right, so now we're going to segue now into talking about this importance of honoring students and having the, we're not going to focus so much on the beloved per se, but on the importance of honoring students, because it's not necessarily intuitive. Students honor us if I'm a teacher. Why should I honor students? So look at this, very powerful information here. These are two new sources we haven't quoted before, so I gave you a little bit of the historical biography. So the first one, source number four, Sefer Musar. Yosef ben Yehuda ibn Enkin lived in the 12th and 13th century. He was a philosopher, a doctor, a poet, a parshan. He dealt with the Bible. He dealt with Talmud. He was basically a Jewish philosopher, Jewish thinker in the medieval times. He was born in Barcelona, in Sfarad, Achai, Upal Be'ir, Fez, in Morocco. Okay, so he spent a lot of time in Morocco. So listen to what he says. Again, this could be literally written in contemporary educational textbooks, especially the next source as well. But Sefer Moshe writes as follows. Perush. Al ti datzka kasha el talmidcha sh'ata melamdo v'tzarech lecha v'kabur chavercha sh'ata v'hu shavim v'mala achas u'v'asoscha davar zeh ata mekarvan l'torah. So don't be, he understands, what does it mean that the honor should be beloved to you, or you should honor them? Don't be da'atcha kasha. Don't be so rigid. Don't be so tough, right? Both on your student as well as your friend. And by doing this, by not being tough, basoscha davar zeh, ata mekarvan l'torah, You're going to be able to bring them to Torah. They're going to be drawn after Torah. Lefi she'ein daitan shlema velo tamo tama chachma. Let's assume we're talking about students for now, that their intelligence is not fully developed yet, right? They're still learning, and they haven't fully internalized or respect or understand or appreciate the purposes of wisdom. Vim lotis ariv imahem. If you do not make it beloved to them, enjoyable to them, yirchaku, they're going to go away from it. V'zeh akavod shatam echavdam, by giving them honor, hu hatzad otam ad sheyiplu bereshet hachachma. You're trapping them, right? You're trapping them by giving them honor and making it enjoyable for them. You're basically giving them an experience that they're going to enjoy to the point where eventually they're going to appreciate the wisdom and the Torah for its own sake, and they'll love it as it is. But until that point, until they develop that appreciation, your job as a teacher is to give them kavod in order, his main point is, in order that they enjoy this. They enjoy the experience. And we're going to elaborate that in a moment. But first, let's read the second half, which is a separate point, but important to read anyways, alluding to Rabbi Shaloni said, Umitam acher, another explanation, Nami, Pesha Tamad Shoal as Arab Bedvarim Kashim. Not exactly what he's saying, but he says, why should I honor my students? So I honor my students because sometimes my students, they ask great questions, they have an insight, and they end up teaching me. So my student is my teacher, and that's what he says, famous statement, mitamidayo termi kulam, I learn from my students more than anybody else. So if you're learning from your students, and this is a simple explanation of the Mishnah, not about teaching them how to love Torah and all that stuff. It's very simply, why do I have to honor my students? Because they deserve it, because they taught me. So I have to honor them, just like they honor me because I teach them, I honor them because they teach me. Flip the page. Source number 5, another new source, the Medrash David, the Rambam's grandson, Rabbi David Hanagid, lived in the 13th century, Hayabinos Rabbi Avram ben Arambam. This is in the little biography. He's the grandson of the Rambam, son of Rav Avram ben Arambam. Shimesh Kenagil Lekilos Ayyudim in Mitzrayim, story of Eretz Yisrael. So he was a leader in Mitzrayim, in Surya, and in Eretz Yisrael. Start on the fourth line here. Second word on the line. Lefi. Shekol Masha Tisraba Avaso Veshivcho Mimcha. The more your student, the more increase of love and praise that your student gets from you, Kain Tirbe Bosto Mimcha, he's going to be embarrassed, but not in a negative way. He's going to want to impress you. He's going to want to work for you. Show off is the wrong word, but he's gonna want to please you. That's a good one, right? The more you honor and respect him and show love to him or her, and the more you praise them, the more they're gonna want to respect and honor and show you that they want to learn. The yarbe bechachma, this is going to help increase their wisdom. The yiftach libo, it's gonna open their hearts and their minds. The tiskala haskalaso benimos, and it's gonna open up their seichel. They're thinking, the yismach v'yeda sheyesh lo etzel rabo kavod u'mayla. This is beautiful. He's gonna love the fact, and they're gonna know that my Rebbe honors me. My Rebbe respects me. My teacher respects me. Umala v'yosef chachma, and what's that gonna do? Make them learn more. V'kishron, and give them more abilities. U'kineged zeh, and the opposite of this, Mishu mevaze talmido, v'yisne'ehu tamid, somebody who embarrasses their student, shows them hatred, v'yatzibo so b'dvarim ra, makes them sad by saying mean things to them. Tireu tamid eino boteach l'shum davar. It's very powerful. What's gonna happen to this student? He's not gonna believe in himself. He's not gonna have no self-esteem, no self-efficacy, belief in his ability. The student's gonna go, as we would call, off the derech, as it were. Not gonna want to have anything to do with Torah, not gonna want anything to do with you. He's not going to understand anything. He's going to try to pretend that he understands, but he doesn't understand. So he says, let's say a student's not doing well. Right? So it's nice to give honor to my student if the student deserves the honor. But this student doesn't deserve the honor. Right, so he's saying, no, first of all, if you're mean to that student, if you put that student down, it's going to destroy the student. And then he says, so what are you supposed to do about the student who's struggling? So he says, tell them, you did a good job. Now this is a beautiful line. Ata charutz hishtadalta harbe. You put in a lot of effort. Let's say he had a, you know, maybe we'd call a learning disability, as it were. So what should you do? Tell him nice things. Bring them along. Let's keep clear. Let's do one thing and then the next. Or focus on one thing and elaborate on another thing. Basically, you know, accommodate their learning disabilities, as it were. Right? Do this, don't do that. Focus on this, don't focus on that. Be very patient, Allah. Be daber mo b'panim shalcha. And be nice to them, treat them with smiles, with happiness, with calmness, and then they're going to want to learn, and that's what it means here, that you want to give honor to your students. Look, right, and if you're mean, if you're not flexible, if you yell at your students, etc., it's not going to work out. Well, this is a very powerful paragraph here from David Hanagid. You can literally read this into any educational psychology textbook nowadays, and it's really important that the fact that the student can believe in themselves. That line was huge, right? If you're mean to them, they're not going to believe in their abilities. But if you're nice to them, they're going to want to learn, right? The more positive emotions are, not just that they're going to want to learn, but they're going to learn better because they enjoy it and they want to do it. And then that line about how you should focus on the effort and that they tried hard is basically, you know, Carol Dweck's research on mindset, which I believe we've quoted about in the past, is that when you praise students, don't praise their abilities. Don't say, oh, you're so smart, because what does that do? It makes them think that everything's innate. It's either I'm smart or I'm not smart. I didn't do anything. Instead of praising intelligence or instead of praising abilities, you praise effort. You say you tried really hard. You put in a lot of work into this, and I can see that. It's exactly what he says. Tell them, praise the effort. That's what you're supposed to do. Yeah.
I think it's amazing that this is not in the 13th century.
Yeah. Yep. Again, there's limits as to how you deal with these things, but for the most part, as an overview of educational psychology, how to deal with emotions and the like in the classrooms is very powerful. Okay, so let's move on. So far we've had. It's getting late.
Rabbi,
yes. Okay. I'm teaching next semester at where I teach at YU, the Israeli Graduate School of Jewish Education. So I'm teaching to teachers in training who are going for their masters. I'm teaching Pirkei Avos and social emotional learning. So I'm mixing the psychology and the Pirkei Avos together, and this is on the curriculum. So for those students who come, they'll see it. Yeah. That's definitely an important one. Make something up. Right. Okay. So let's, I'm trying to figure out here how much longer we're going to go. I think let's call it a day. We're going to, we'll still do some stuff next week. I don't know if it'll be, if it'll take the full shiur, or we'll start the next thing, or maybe I'll add some stuff. Okay, let's leave this as the full shiur for today. Save these sheets. I assume we'll use them next week. I'll gather them if you're not going to want to bring them home. And we'll continue regular schedule next week.
Thank you.